This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Good program lined up for you. Martin will be here at 11. Bruce Weber is going to join us. We're also going to talk with Chris Kerber about the Blues as they prep for the Edmonton Oilers. Imagine how disappointed we were when we heard that Ken Hitchcock was going to the Oilers and we were going to get Craig Berube. Well, that's worked out pretty good for the Blues, hasn't it? And not so hot for the Edmonton Oilers, who are probably going to be out of the playoff hunt.
Yeah, but I think everybody wanted Quenneville, nonetheless. I think Hitchcock, you know, you could attach to it as a secondary option, but I think everybody was talking about Quenneville. Berube, I bashed early because he's not very personable and the team was slumping, so it's hard to pull any positives from a guy like that, but he certainly knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's just a bad A. You know, just a tough guy.
Oh, I would never tussle with him in the parking lot. Certainly not.
And he just makes everybody just so accountable. I mean, he doesn't care if he alienates, you know, a star player. And I don't think he intentionally does it. But he just makes sure that everybody is on the same wavelength. All right. We are thrilled to have on our program, I think, one of the most interesting men in the world. He is Pat Williams. We've had him on quite a few times in the past. There are so many fascinating things about him. First of all, he beat cancer. Yep, he beat cancer. He's an author of over 100 books. He and his wife, Ruth, are the parents of 19 kids, including 14 adopted from four nations. And oh, by the way, he was a terrific NBA sports executive. He's the founder and senior vice president of the NBA's Orlando Magic. He was a part of the world champion Philadelphia 76ers as the general manager. And he also managed both the Bulls and the Hawks. It's our pleasure to welcome Pat Williams to the program. Pat, great to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
Oh, Frank, it's so nice of you to share those kind words and invite me back. I'm looking forward to our chat.
So much to discuss. Let's begin with the book and why this book, Character Carved in Stone.
Well, Frank, here's what happened a few years ago. I was invited to speak at West Point to the Army sports teams and their coaches. And afterwards, they gave me a tour of the campus, which is quite a thrill. We ended up at a little park on the campus called Trophy Point that looks out over the Hudson River. And I noticed in the park a bench. Well, every park has a bench, right? But not every park has 12 benches that I counted. And I thought, that's kind of unusual. And then I looked at the end of the bench for some reason. I just wanted to explore the bench to see if there was anything special about it. Well, there was a word carved into the end of the bench. And on the other end of the bench as well. And I checked all 12 benches, and there was a different word carved into each bench. Words like courage and loyalty, integrity, responsibility, trust, those kind of words. And then I thought, boy, there's got to be a story here. Well, there was. The West Point class of 1934, on their 50th class reunion, which would be 1984, they donated those benches as a class gift. And they selected those words as words that they wanted West Point students to live by and to lead by. And my thought was, boy, this is a well-kept secret. I'd never heard of that. And I thought, boy, if we could do a chapter on each one of these words, and then find a West Point graduate who best modeled that particular word. That would be pretty exciting. That could be a great book. Well, the publisher agreed. That's what we have done. We asked Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke coach, who's a West Point grad, to do the foreword, and he readily agreed to do that. And the end result is this book, A Character Carved in Stone, that has just come out.
So we got a lot of people maybe in their cars. We got a lot of men. We have some women listening, too. And I'm wondering, how can we all kind of align like our thoughts and words and actions with these virtues you're talking about? Everyday life application.
Well, Frank, this is a leadership book. It's not the typical leadership book, but that's what it is. And I think the message to men and women is this. Everybody listening today is a leader. A leader at home, a leader in your work, a leader in youth sports, a leader at your church. Everybody is in some position of leadership. And I think it's important for all of us to work at that. We can all improve as leaders. We can all advance. We can all make strides to become better leaders. And I think these 12 words are vitally important in the life of military leaders, as the class of 1934 at West Point felt. But that's all transferable to us in the civilian world as well. You see, Frank, everything rises and falls on leadership. It always has, it always will, and the future of our country hinges on the quality of our leaders in every facet of American life. And that's why it's so important to take seriously our role as leaders.
And I think the style of leadership is evolving, especially like in your league, Pat. The dictator-like coaches, the real stern disciplinarians, are few and far between. And it's the Steve Kerrs and the Brad Stevens that are the successful type. And I think you mentioned specifically in the book about compassion is not incompatible with leadership. So in your opinion, why do some people believe a good leader cannot be compassionate?
Well, I think in years past, Frank, you could probably get away with that. But as you have pointed out, no longer. You better have a heart for people. You better care about your people. You better have interest in them. You better have love for them. And by the way, Frank, and this will hit home in St. Louis, but I love to talk about Coach Dick Vermeil, who I got to know quite well when I was with the Sixers in Philadelphia. Dick was with the Eagles. But Dick will break down and cry at the drop of a hat. And I once asked Bill Berge, his linebacker, great linebacker, what's the story here? He said, well, Dick cares so deeply about us, meaning players. He loves us. And he can't help himself when he breaks down and cries. And Vermeil himself said, I tell my assistant coaches I love them. Why should you feel something and not say it? Said Coach Vermeil. He's a great example about love and compassion for people.
Pat Williams is with us. The name of the book, Character Carved in Stone. I have a tough enough time raising my three kids and keeping an eye on them and trying to point them in the right direction. How do you do it with 19? Are all 19 turning out okay?
Well, Frank, they're all adults now. The youngest is 33. The oldest is 47. There was one year when 16 of our children were all teenagers at the same time. Oh, boy, that accounts for a lot of my white hair. But I think, Frank, what I have learned about parenting is simply this. Our children need a balance of love and discipline. You've got, as a parent, you've got to figure out the right balance. If it gets too strong on the discipline side, well, then it becomes a dictatorship. If it gets too strong on the love side, kids can run wild. So you've got to find that right balance. And the other thing I learned, Frank, as a parent is, you're not here forever, children. At 18, you're leaving. And we planted that in the minds of our children at a very young age. That at 18, when you graduate from high school, A, you're going to college, or B, you're going into the military, or C, you're going into the workforce. But you're not going to hang here as a young adult playing video games all day on dad's nickel. And you see, we've got a problem in our country, Frank. We have 13 million children who adult children who haven't left home yet. And most of them are young men. And so as parents, we've got to be really strong on that that issue, that at 18 you're leaving. Listen, I did. I went to college, left at 18, and never came back. You know, I came back for holidays. But that was it. I left and started an adult life at 18. Most people do. But this generation, we got to be very, very careful, because it's awfully easy just to say, honey, you just stay here now. But you've got to get out into life at 18. You got to kick them out of the nest. But you've got to start that when they're 5 years old.
I've always thought, too, Pat, that as they get older, that I move from a parent role to kind of an advisor and just offer any advice and be there for support, but I certainly don't want to cut the ties.
Yes, no question, Frank. You want to have a strong relationship with your adult children. Oh, absolutely. And wise are the children who seek counsel from their parents, who look upon their parents as mentors or life coaches, because you've been down the road. And wise are those children who seek the advice of older people in life who have already experienced life. I've seen that with my children. Those children who have sought my counsel and followed it have done well. Those who have just gone about their merry way, thinking they've got all the answers, they have struggled.
Pat, I got to ask.
Many of them are still struggling. I'm always there for them, but some listen and some not so much.
Ben, I got to ask you about your very serious multiple melanoma, which is a blood cancer. I think there was a perception by some that this was going to get you. Did you feel that you were close to death, and what was that like?
Well, I was diagnosed over 8 years ago. It was shocking. You know, I had just run the Disney Marathon, and the next week or so, I'm in the office of Dr. Robert Reynolds telling me I've got cancer. And I was just stunned. And I said, what kind? I'd never heard of multiple myeloma. I'd never heard of it. And he explained it was blood cancer in the marrow of your bones. I said, well, how long do I have to live? He said, well, 2 to 3 years, but there's wonderful new forms of chemo, and we want to keep you alive long enough for them to come into effect. Well, Frank, that's what's happened. I have been on some wonderful new forms of chemo that were not available years back. And I'm now in my ninth year. I feel good. My energy level's good. I'm able to keep my full life. I'm grateful for that. I know that many people have been praying for me. And my sense is that God has more for me to do, and thus is keeping me around. But what has really happened, Frank, I've ended up being a counselor, an advisor in this world of cancer. I mean, 3 or 4 times a month I'll hear from somebody that needs some help. They've just been diagnosed, and they're scared to death. And I've been through it now, and I'm able to talk to them. In fact, a few years ago, I wrote a book called The Mission is Remission, in which I share my multiple myeloma story designed to help and encourage people. So in addition to those other things you read about in my life, I'm now in the cancer counseling business. Who would have guessed, huh?
Hey, before we let you go, give us one good Charles Barkley story or one good Shaq story. You spent so much time with these basketball stars. Give us one good one that jumps out at you.
Well, Frank, in 1984, we had a high pick in the draft in Philadelphia. That was the Michael Jordan Olajuwon draft. And we were picking fifth, and we had studied this guy from Auburn, Charles Barkley. We were fascinated by his talent, the round mound of rebound. We brought him in. We studied him closely. He was about 6'4", if you want to be honest, Frank. Huh. Weighed 292 pounds. And we met with him. He said, Charles, if we take you, you're going to have to get in shape. And he said, Mr. Williams, round is a shape. I said, Charles, we're going to bring you back in right before the draft. We want you to be in the 250s. And Charles, we want you to start eating from the six major food groups. Well, 2 months later, there were only two of them left. and we brought him in before the draft, and he weighed 292 pounds. Oh. Well, we took him anyway. And, you know, it's funny. We had about 10 different weight clauses in his contract. But I never again looked at any of them because he had a lot of pride, and he played in the 250s. But there was never a player like him. You know, he would be power forwards. He would be guarding 6'10 guys. But he could take the ball off the glass, and he could dribble it up court and take it behind his back and rifle a pass, you know, on the run, or throw down a slam dunk or steal the ball and out-sprint guards up the court. He was an amazing talent. And as we've seen him on TV, Frank, just, I mean, you know, you never know what he's going to say. I mean, he is unguarded. And he was always that way. So what you see with Charles is what you get. Shaq, in 1992, we won that draft lottery. And that was the year Shaq was coming out. Everybody knew who the first pick in the draft would be. I remember sitting at that table for the draft lottery. There were 11 of us there. And underneath every table, in a paper bag, there was a Shaq jersey with a team logo on it. Huh. Because they wanted to prance and dance up there, you know, that, well, when it came, or, you know, as each team had their card turned over, knowing that they were out of it, you could hear the rustle of that jersey going back into the paper bag all the way down the line. And there we stood with Charlotte and Orlando standing. And when they turned over that Charlotte card at 2, we exploded with absolute joy because the big guy was coming to Orlando, Florida. And we had some great years with Shaq. Unfortunately, there weren't enough of them because in free agency, he pranced off to L.A. But he never left Orlando. He kept his. He's finally selling his house now for like $24 million. But he lived here in the off season, you know, all those years. So when those guys are up there on TV, you know, on TNT, Frank, there is Shaq on one end and Charles Barkley on the other. I look and say, those are two of my trophies.
Pat, an honor to have you on the program. The name of the book, Character Carved in Stone, 12 Core Values of West Point That Builds Leaders and Produce Success. The foreword by the great Mike Krzyzewski. An honor to have you on, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Frank, thanks a million. And tell your listeners to go up to Amazon and order the book. It's in bookstores in the business section. and I hope people enjoy it.
Thank you, sir.
Bye, Frank.
All right, Pat Williams joining us. We'll take a short time out. We're going to tell you about a really special awards event that's coming to St. Louis.